Usually, people don't volunteer to overcome a difficult obstacle, yet that's the definition of a game. Jane McGonigal is director of game research and development at the Institute for the Future in Palo Alto. And she says good game design can do more than make you want to play it. She points to research that finds games can help control pain more effectively than opiates and help reduce post-traumatic stress syndrome. Recently, McGonigal made a game she says helps users overcome challenges in their everyday lives. It's the subject of her latest book, Super Better. McGonigal told Ross Reynolds she got the idea when she faced a personal health crisis.
It was the summer of 2009, and I hit my head standing up from underneath an open cabinet door, which I found out, by the way, you can give yourself a concussion as serious as a pro football player getting knocked down on the field. So everybody close your cabinet doors. And it was a kind of concussion that doesn't heal right away. And, you know, a month into it, I was still completely concussed with the nausea and the headaches every day. And I couldn't think clearly or concentrate on anything. And that's what I was going through when I decided to try to use my superpowers as a game designer and game psychologist to make a game that would kind of kickstart the more positive ways of thinking, you know, more motivation, more determination, more creativity.
Give us an idea of some of the games that you learned to play or that you tried out that worked for you.
Well, I mean, I called the game Jane the Concussion Slayer, and the first key to the game was adopting the secret identity. And the secret identity is just a way to think about your strengths instead of problems that make you less capable than you were before, which is how most people, you know, think about themselves naturally when they're going through an illness or injury. You focus on the things that make you stronger or braver or better able to focus your abilities on overcoming this challenge. And then, you know, you recruit allies to play the game with you. It's asking someone to play a game with you is an easier way to ask for help. It's very easy to say, I'm playing this game, I want you to play it with me. Harder to say, this, you know, by the way, I'm still concussed. It's been a month. I'm feeling really depressed and scared. So just even framing it as a game becomes a way to more easily seek the kind of support that you need.
You just mentioned the science of games. That might be an unusual term for people. What do you mean by the science of games?
For about 15 years now, there's been a growing body of research looking mostly at video games and looking at the neurochemistry of it, looking at how games are being used in medical practices to treat chronic pain or help prevent PTSD, looking at a whole range of these psychology, medical, and neuroscience studies that help us understand the psychological strengths that we really develop when we play games. And my goal, of course, is to help people bring those strengths to everyday life, not just while we're playing the video game.
So you're taking the science and what we know about what games can do for us, and you're kind of combining it with cognitive science, how our mind works, to get the two of them to work together. Could you give an example of how that works?
Sure. Well, one thing we learned from looking at game research is that we have an incredible ability to control our attention, which can really change how we're thinking and feeling. So there are video games that have been shown to actually decrease pain as effectively as morphine. When you put gamers in an fMRI machine that shows the blood flow in the regions of the brain when they play, what they see is not just that the video game distracts you from pain, it actually prevents blood flow to the regions of the brain that register pain. And it's because games are so cognitively absorbing, they require so many of your brain's resources, that if you put your brain's resources on the game, there's literally no blood flow left over to feel the pain. So it's not just about distraction. It's about changing how your brain is operating minute to minute. And you can do this for anxiety, for depression, even to prevent post-traumatic stress disorder. They found that playing a game like Tetris for 10 minutes within 24 hours of a traumatic experience can prevent your brain from creating flashbacks of the trauma. And flashbacks is one of the hardest to treat symptoms of PTSD. And that works on the same principle. You're occupying your brain by processing the visuals of the game. And so you're having flashbacks of the video game instead of flashbacks of the trauma.
So Jane McGonigal, you applied this to your own condition, the repercussions of your concussion, and what happened?
Well, I had a really good experience personally. That sort of fog of depression and anxiety started to lift just within days. And even though it took a year to recover fully, everything just felt better. I wasn't as depressed and anxious. And so I put up some videos online. I eventually wrote a blog post explaining how it worked. And I started to hear from people all over the world who were adapting the game for their challenges. People who were fighting cancer, people who were dealing with PTSD, people who just wanted to make a positive change in their life, like find a new job or get fit. And I realized maybe I should study this a little more because it seemed to be working so well for them. I wanted to understand why. Even though I understand the psychology of games, it seemed to be so effective that I needed to, study it more. So I made an app and a web version, collected data from 500,000 players, ran a clinical trial that was funded by the NIH, ran a randomized control study with the University of Pennsylvania, and the result is a lot better understanding of how facing life's challenges with that gameful mindset can actually activate some of the most important ways of thinking that cognitive psychology has known for years, that even in spiritual practices, we think of as meditation, for example, that gameful thinking actually activates some of the most powerful ways of thinking.
Jane McGonigal's telling us about her book, Super Better, that takes a look at applying gaming to not only problems in everyday life, but also maybe advancing towards some goals that you'd like to do. We make a lot of games here in Western Washington, Microsoft's Halo, Valve's Dota, Nintendo's Wii Sports games. What are the similarities and the differences between the kind of games that you're talking about in Super Better or other games you've written about that take a look at solving the world's problems and these types of entertainment games?
Well, one of the things I wanted to do in this book was to show actually how important these entertainment games are in terms of bringing benefit to our real lives. All of these games, Halo and Dota and the Wii games, they provide important benefits for connecting with friends and family, for building up your mental and emotional resilience. Studies have shown that playing these games allows you to become better at managing emotions like frustration and anger and continuing to focus on your goal. They help us develop the ability to fail constantly. Most people playing games like Halo are failing 80% of the time. They have to keep staying engaged, learn from their mistakes, and get better. And that kind of mental resilience and the social resilience we have from playing games with friends and family.
You've learned a lot about games over your years of research and making them and seeing how people reacted to them. But what's still a mystery to you when it comes to game design and what games can do? What are the kind of the big questions that linger?
That's such a fun question. What am I looking at these days? The question that I'm really interested in is addiction and its relationship to gaming. I have a chapter in the book where I look at a lot of different studies, do a meta-analysis to see what predicts who will become addicted to games versus who will benefit from them. Because obviously a lot of people develop a kind of compulsion towards video games and they report negative impacts on their own lives, whether it's physically or socially or performance at work or at school. And yet at the same time, we see all these other studies showing that there are benefits. And I think there's a lot of good information where we can say, well, this kind of gameplay is likely to become addictive or not. But I'm interested in zooming out and thinking more broadly about what we can learn about addiction from the way we become addicted to games. There's a lot of great neuroscience research now that is looking at all forms of addiction to substances, to anything, as just the goal orientation process of the brain becoming almost hijacked by one goal, which is exactly what happens in gaming, right? And when you play a game that you love and you get addicted to, what's really happening is you're really excited about the goal of the game and the challenge of the game, and you're more interested in focusing on that goal than anything else. And I think that games could help us, therefore, understand kind of how to reverse engineer addiction, because we have a very clear model of how goal orientation works in games.
Jane McGonigal is a game theorist and maker. Her new book is called Super Better. She spoke with Ross Reynolds.